It is truly good to be here this morning to worship God in spirit and in truth. I got a welcome this morning to the West End Church of Christ. Had a couple of questions put in the box, and one question in particular I thought was very interesting. The individual that wrote it is here this morning. The first question, the second question, I have no idea if they're here or not. They did not put their name on it. But the first question was, if Sunday became Monday, would we treat it as the first day of the week, or vice versa? If Monday were Sunday, or if Monday were the first day of the week, we would come together and partake of the Lord's Supper. We would lay by in store and give. We would sing, we would pray, and we would hear God's word proclaimed. But as it be, today is Sunday, is the first day of the week, and that is why we're gathered here today. And maybe if that were the case, that the schools would also adjust their schedule to be the first day of the week, and then start school on Tuesday instead of on Monday. And so I hope that answered your question on that one. The second question that was put in the box is actually is three questions, and we're going to take some time and answer these three questions before we get into the sermon. Before I answer the question, or before I read the questions, I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to start with verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to start with verse 1. And the reason we're reading 1 Peter chapter 3 is because the way the questions were stated. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. But if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be warned by the conversation or conduct of the wives. By to behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be with the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, in the wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of meekness and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For of this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. I'd like to start out as we get into the three questions by saying a few words. Dearly beloved, when one is joined in matrimony, they must consider the vows that they took before man and God. Whether written or spoken, the marriage vows are something that are sacred. Let us mention a few common vows that are cited in a ceremony. Love and cherish, for better or worse, richer or poor, sickness or health. Treat one another with respect until death do us part. An unfaithful spouse, the word of God gives, but does not command the putting away for adultery. Let us understand that. He gives you that right, but you don't necessarily have to do it. You can forgive your spouse and move on. Don't bring it back up anymore. On the other hand, if one decides to forgive and divorce their spouse, that is their right as well. One does not forgive another for unfaithfulness and wait months on end, and then when something else happened, decide that you want to put them away. Abusive spouse. The scriptures are silent on this subject. We're told to treat others as we would like to be treated. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church, according to Ephesians chapter 5. Wives are subject to their own husbands as to the Lord. Domestic violence is learned behavior, meaning it is not inherited. It is not genetic. Since it is learned, it can be unlearned or changed. But abusers do not easily abandon their violent ways. They need to be challenged and held accountable for their actions. There's always room for repentance, for counseling, and for reconciliation. If one divorces because of spousal abuse, whether physical or mental, they must remain unmarried or reconciled to their mate. Question number one. If your husband beats you, should you stay till he beats you to death? Let me repeat that. If your husband beats you, should you stay till he beats you to death? Answer. No one stays in harm's way unless there's a reason for doing so. Jesus laid down his life because he wanted us to live. When one is in an abusive relationship, they need to ask several questions. The first question is this. What is the cause of the abuse? Find it and fix it. Number two. When you abuse, do you give as you have taken? If so, stop and pray. Have you sought counseling? If not, why not? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. People can change. I just want you to know that right now. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's why I read 1 Peter chapter 3. There are some wives that need to teach their husbands on how to treat them. They can change. Question number two. Does a woman stay in an abusive relationship or marriage no matter what? Does a woman stay in an abusive relationship or marriage no matter what? The answer. A woman should not stay in an abusive relationship with a man. I want you to hear that. A woman should not stay in an abusive relationship with a man and then marry and think things are going to change. You know, we have to use our head in some of these things. They said relationship or marriage, and we're going to talk about the marriage in just a moment. But as we think about being in a relationship, if a man is beating on you while you're dating, what makes you think he's going to change once you're married? Things will probably get worse. And so we do not want you to stay in a relationship where you are being abused. Now, if you are in a relationship with someone and then marry them, you will have to suffer the consequences. And I'm not standing before you telling you that you have to get beat to death. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that is now your husband. Your husband. No one else's but yours. And so you have to suffer the consequences. And what I mean by that is that you may see someone else that you won't. You can't have them. Because you are already married. Not meaning that one has to die before they can have freedom from abuse. But remember the cause that Christ gave for divorce. Except for fornication. Except for fornication. Question number three. Do you send a message to men that if they beat their wives, she can't leave? And I don't know if they were talking about a person in particular or if they were talking about a woman that was staying in an abusive relationship. But I'm just reading it the way that they wrote it down. Do you send a message to men that if they beat their wives, she can't leave? answer number three. The message from God's word is what we want to consider. If a wife leaves her husband, she should remain unmarried or reconciled to her husband, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11. Actually, we're going to read verse 10 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 and 11. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 and 11. When we think of leaving because of mental or physical abuse, we need to consider God's word. Throughout the marriage, there will be things done by each spouse that should be addressed. Seeking forgiveness should be done in order to keep the marriage in harmony with the scriptures. The answer that one may look for may be the one that will save their life or their marriage. We must consider the Bible as our authority on every subject as we deal with the questions that are asked. So I hope that the person that put this in the box, I hope that they are here this morning, and I hope that this these answers will help them out in their relationship or someone else's relationship that they can talk to. But again, I want you to realize something, that as we think about a husband beating a wife or vice versa, a wife beating a husband, we have to know when to step aside. We have to know when to stand firm on our ground. Divorce is always displeasing to God. The Bible says that God hates divorce. And if He hates divorce, we should hate divorce as well. But a mere separation for a while, maybe that's what it takes in order to get someone's life together and get them to understand who God is and put God first in that relationship. People can change. I know of marriages that have gone on for years and years and years. They started out a little rocky at first, a little shaky at first. The husband was beating the wife. But 55 years later, they're still married. As my wife Anita's mother would say, "This is my husband. You have your family, I have mine." And a lot of times what we do as individuals, we interfere with someone's relationship, and when those ties are severed, you that interfered will get the blame. So let's use God's word for our authority on the things that we teach concerning marriage. And one day we will have a complete lesson on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and what the marriage is all about. I know several of you have heard them in times past, and you remember those things. And you're not going to always agree with what the preacher says reference to marriage. But if he's speaking from God's word, it's not the preacher that you have the problem with. It's God. And you need to get your conscience straight with Him. So I thank you very much for those questions, and continue to put them in there. We're going to answer them one way or another. If I don't answer them, somebody else is going to answer them. But we're going to answer them one way or another. And please, let's put questions that are edifying, questions that we need to, have answers to. If you don't want to put the question in the box, email it to morebibletalk@yahoo.com. Or call into the radio station. We'll be delighted to answer them on the station. Matter of fact, Brother Randy is going to get these three questions, and he'll be dealing with them as well whenever he gets back on his feet. He's doing several gospel meetings, and he's going to be gone for 2 or 3 weeks. And I'm going to give him time to get back home. He may call in, but I'm going to give him time to get back home in Missouri. And I'm going to give him these three questions. And you listen to the answers that he give you. If they're any different from what I said, then Brother Randy and I will have to sit down and we'll go through the scriptures together. I do not have, the market on the truth concerning God's word with everything I say. And if I say something that's wrong, I'm going to be the first one when you point it out to me to get it right. So I thank you very much for those questions. And again, continue to put them in the box.